Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon today is the epistle reading from Hebrews chapter 11. Pretty familiar passage to us. It's one where we get to hear about how our faith in Jesus Christ connects us to the faith of all of the Old Testament saints, these men and women of the Bible, these heroes of the faith. And just as Mr. Denning was saying to the children, you know, oftentimes our faith is not something we can fully understand. Oftentimes God we don't fully understand, and yet we know what he does, and we know that our faith is the most important thing that we can pass on to the next generation. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Don Carter, Ray Bluth, Pat Patterson, Tom Hennessy, and Dick Meyer. Is there anybody that has any clue what those five names have in common? Do you know, Sam? Bowlers, that's right. Did anybody else know that? Awesome, Steve knew it. All right, yeah, great. So a lot of us don't know that, but three of us do. That's really, really nice. Those are the members of one of the greatest, most successful sports teams ever in St. Louis history. Not the Cardinals. We talked enough about the Cardinals last week. Not the St. Louis Blues. Definitely not the St. Louis Rams, right? But the St. Louis Buds, they were known as. The St. Louis Buds. And that's because this professional bowling team was sponsored by Budweiser. Back in 1958, those five men, they, on March 12th, went to Florissant Lanes in North St. Louis, and they bowled a combined 3,858 points, pins, in just three games, a three-series game. And so that probably doesn't mean a whole lot, 3,858 to most of us, and yet, that set a record that lasted for about 35 years before it was broken again. So that was really impressive. The best bowler on the team that day was Ray Bluth. He actually shot two perfect 300-point games in that one day. And so there was actually a sports writer who had noticed that and had compared this team and said that this was the bowling equivalent of the 1927 New York Yankees. And I was thinking, you know, like, who needs Babe Ruth when you got Ray Bluth? Anyway, the St. Louis Buds and their success was one of the reasons why the St. Louis City ended up receiving the International Bowling Hall of Fame and Museum for about 25 years. Maybe some of you remember visiting that at one time before it had moved down to Texas, right around the same time that they were developing Ballpark Village. It was kind of sad, though, because although St. Louis at one time was the bowling capital of the world, pretty much, it got to the point towards the end where hardly anybody was visiting that Hall of Fame anymore. Hardly anybody was going to that museum. We sort of proved that this morning. I mean, maybe three of us knew those names, but most of us didn't. It kind of seems silly to call something a Hall of Fame when the majority of the names in that Hall of Fame are not famous enough to be recognized by most of us, right? And so something that seemed so important to people back then in 1958, when bowling was in its heyday, almost just five or six decades later, doesn't really seem like a big deal anymore. That just seems to be the way things go sometimes. You know, halls of fame exist to remind us of all of the great achievements and records of the past, but even a hall of fame doesn't last forever. Even a hall of fame is temporary. And you know, even you could think, I know it sounds crazy, but some of the more prominent names in halls of fame, you know, that we would know right off the top of our heads, you can imagine where maybe 200 or 300 years from now, maybe people don't even care about baseball anymore or something like that. Maybe people's names, like even Stan Musial or you know, I don't know, what are some other famous Cardinals? Ozzie Smith, you know, Jack Buck, the great announcer. Maybe some of these names won't matter to people hundreds of years from now either, right? So halls of fame are great, but even the greatest of them are only temporary. Today in the epistle reading, we actually have a similar list of famous names. It kind of reads like a Hall of Fame of the Old Testament. It's like a who's who of biblical heroes right here in this famous passage from chapter 11 in the book of Hebrews, except there's a really key difference between the list we have here and the list of names that would be in any Hall of Fame that we would know. And the difference is that the criteria for making it into this Hall of Fame has absolutely nothing to do with a person's personal accomplishments or achievements. When we're talking about these people here, like Abel and Enoch, Noah, Abraham, and Sarah, those are the ones that are in our passage today, we're not talking about records that have been broken. We're not talking about championships that were won. We're not evaluating these people the same way that we would evaluate, you know, Ray Bluth and Babe Ruth. I just really love saying those two names together. But, you know, the writer to the Hebrews makes it very clear that the one thing that matters, the one thing that can take any of our so-called accomplishments and make them worth talking about at all, is faith. That's it. Yeah, the things that you do, the things that you accomplish, if they are done because you trust the Lord and because you believe His promises, well, then and only then are they even worth mentioning. Really, that puts a whole new spin on the way that we think about the Old Testament saints, all these faithful men and women of the Old Testament. You know, when we talk about them, we're not talking them as a hall of fame. We're talking more about a hall of faith. So, like, for Abel, for example, you know, Abel, his greatness doesn't come just because he offered this amazing sacrifice to God, a sacrifice that, you know, made his brother jealous and got him killed. That's not what makes Abel great. What makes Abel great is his faith. All of that is done by faith. The reason why Noah is so great is not because he built the greatest boat ever, but it's only because he did that by faith. The reason why Abraham is so great is not because he just left his homeland to go dwell in a foreign land and became the father to the Hebrews. That's not what makes him great. It's only his faith that makes him great in the sight of God. So over and over and over again, we see that where it's faith alone that makes a person worthy of any reward, any recognition, any honor, any remembrance whatsoever. So that raises the question then, what is faith anyway? Right? Because Lutherans talk about faith a lot. We talk about salvation by faith alone. What in the world do we mean when we say that, right? When you try to break that down into more simple language, it's really hard to put it into words, to give a definition of what faith is. Now, in verse 1 of this reading, we have a little bit of help because the writer to the Hebrews gives us a little bit of a definition. So in verse 1, it says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. And then later on, a couple verses later, in verse 6, we read this, without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. So if you put all of that together, what you end up coming out with is you have faith, which essentially has two components to it. You have the knowledge of God, right? So believing that He exists, the head knowledge that we have as Christians. But then you also have trust in God, which is a little bit different. So I'm going to explain what I mean, the difference between the two. So we're talking about knowledge of God. I think that there are many people out there, many, many Christians even, whose assumption is when we say that we believe that salvation is by faith in Christ alone, the assumption is that means as long as you believe that there's a God, you believe that God exists, you believe that Jesus existed, you believe that He died on the cross and 3 days later He rose again, if you believe those basic things about God, if you believe the facts and you know that they are true, then that's what saves you. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't want to discount understanding the facts. It's important to understand the facts, to have the facts of the Bible straight in your head. That's the reason why we study the Bible our whole lives. There's nothing wrong with that. But if faith is only that, if that's all we have is head knowledge, if salvation is only based on what you and I can understand about God, then we are all in big trouble. Because none of us could possibly learn everything that there is to know about God. And by the way, even Satan has that kind of knowledge. Even Satan knows and acknowledges that God exists. So that can't be all that faith is. And so the second, and I would argue even more important component to faith, is the trust that we have in God's promises to us. If faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen, then oftentimes what happens in our lives, the things that we see, the evidence that we have all around us, oftentimes does not match the promises that God has made to us, right? Oftentimes, what God has promised is a whole lot better than what we're going through now. And even in those moments where the things we see don't match the things that are promised, we can still trust that God loves us. So when you lose your job, when the crops fail, when your health takes a turn for the worse, when life hands you lemons in any way, shape, or form, you can still have faith and trust that God will make all things right again. Either that happens in your lifetime here on earth, or maybe the restoration happens for you one day in heaven. But either way, we know that God has promised and that he will keep his promises, right? There's no amount of suffering in this world that can separate us from the love of Christ, which was shown to us when God sent him to die on the cross for your sins and for mine. You don't have to fully understand who God is, and you don't have to fully understand his plan in order to trust him. And by the way, that's why we so confidently confess that yes, even infants, even babies can have this kind of faith. Even people who have mental handicaps can have this kind of faith. Even people who are suffering from dementia can have this kind of faith, because faith is not just based on what you know. Faith is not just based on what you can articulate and understand. Faith is trust in God and in his promises. So the end of this passage talks about these Old Testament heroes, these Old Testament Hall of Famers, living by that kind of faith, knowledge of God's existence and trust in him together. And when it talks about that here toward the end, it talks about them as though they lived their lives as strangers on the earth. And that's why we just sang for our sermon hymn, we just sang, "I'm but a stranger here, heaven is my home." That's how these Old Testament saints lived. If you think about it, it makes a whole lot of sense. That if we're living by faith, then suddenly this life and everything that it has to offer is just kind of like living in a foreign country somewhere. It all sort of pales in comparison to the things that we will experience when we're at home in heaven for all eternity. The entire earth is kind of like the old bowling hall of fame in the sense that it's only temporary. It doesn't last forever. When our Lord Jesus Christ returns to this earth, when he fulfills his promise to restore creation and make all things new, all of the earthly stuff, all of the achievements, all the records of the world will be gone. We're not going to need a hall of fame anymore, because we're going to be done with this whole idea that we need to compare ourselves to one another. You know, we're not going to be so concerned about other people are more important or more talented, more blessed than we are. We're not going to need a plaque or a statue or a trophy or a brass plate to tell us about all of the achievements that we made in this life, because you know what? On that day, the back of everybody's baseball card is going to say the same thing: saved by faith in Jesus. So in the meantime, we know that unless Jesus returns in our lifetimes or maybe shortly after we die, we know that it most likely won't take long for our fate to be the same as the St. Louis Buds, where not too many people remember who we are, right? I mean, it's no secret that for most of us, after a couple generations, all you are is a name on a headstone somewhere. Now, instead of that becoming a source of depression for us, may we all see this short time we have on earth as an opportunity to actually leave behind a legacy that can last. You know, it's living by faith, not by accomplishments, not by deeds. It's living by faith and sharing that faith that actually matters. It's making God's word a high priority in our lives and in our homes and with our children and passing that on to the next generation and supporting our school ministry as we start a new school year today. It's those things, the word of God and the faith that it produces, that will actually last when everything else goes away for good. So may the hall of faith be filled with name upon name, from Ray Bluth to Babe Ruth, and everyone in between, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.